Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Above Politics Show. I am Martin Bain.
And I'm Homer Fife. How you doing, Martin?
Very well, thank you. And I see it's been a very busy week for your Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, who has urged stronger ties with China. What a surprise there.
Yeah, that's not a shock at all. And the only thing really that kind of shocked me was I think she's actually going to be allowed to come back to the United States.
They're
not going to keep her.
That's really harsh there, but you have to think why you would want to encourage closer ties with China, because they have bought huge amounts of your country's debt. So, you know, I suppose in some respects they probably own a significant chunk of good old US of A.
It seems that way, and it's getting worse. I mean, when you walk into a any Walmart store and go to any of the shelves, and 90% of the products that are being offered were produced in China, and all of a sudden, and this is the thing I think that some people fail to understand, Martin, all of a sudden gone are the protests over the sweatshops and how these things that China are pushing on us with the free trade agreement on how they're being produced. I mean, there was a period of time, I'm sure you remember, where everybody was okay, we can't buy Chinese goods because they're being made in sweatshops. Well, now that the economy's bad, everybody wants that. And here goes Clinton running over to actually increase our ties into a country that has no regard for civil rights whatsoever.
Absolutely. And, you know, you make absolute salient point there that, you know, if times are hard and people have less money to spend, I think sometimes the people's morals go out the door as well. I don't care where this product comes from. I want to buy a $250 or £250 TV, flat screen TV, and I don't really care where it's made. I want to buy a school uniform for my children that's going to cost me £10 or $15. They don't really care about it. I think it's much more about the US realizing just how much power China actually has over, you know, your national debt, how much property and how much land and potentially how many businesses they actually own, maybe discreetly, not necessarily openly, because of their sovereign funds. Just, you know, how into the US China actually is from a political control point of view.
Yeah, because, you know, the big issue now is the debt here in the United States, and China's foreign exchange reserves now, just the reserves, is the world's largest at $1.95 trillion, and they're looking to invest that. So I'm sure Clinton's over there with her hand out. I mean, I'm sure that's a large part of it. But one of the things in the article, the Associated Press article that hit me, was they apparently discussed the need to develop clean energy technology to safely burn coal, because, you know, China's huge into building coal-powered electric plants over there. And what amazes me is, I mean, how much trash do they put into the air compared to us, and yet we're the ones being asked to cut back? The whole thing is hypocrisy. You know, I don't even know why she went over there.
Oh, she went over there because she probably has no choice, really, in the fact, you know, just because of how powerful China actually is and how much money, how much of your debt it's actually got. That's the reason why. I don't think she's going there because, you know, she wants to go ahead and put a moral message across about maybe what's going on with Taiwan, what's going on with other countries in that region. She's going over there because she has no choice. The US government has no choice but to have a serious engagement with China, and basically she's not going to criticize China over everything. If any criticism is made by the US over what China is maybe doing in Tibet or any of its sort of expansionist plans or any of its military plans, it'll be very token, and it'll be a clearly preceded with a quiet call to the Chinese, say, look, we're having to do this because it's the right thing to do, guys, but it's business as usual between us. We need you to be on board with what we're doing in the US.
Exactly. You know, it could not have been said any better, Martin. When you're looking all the way down, hidden in this entire article, there's one little paragraph that says, quote, but ahead of the talks, Clinton signaled that China's poor human rights record, while still of deep concern to the United States, would not be at the top of her agenda. So there you have it. You know, politics wins the day.
Absolutely. And the fact they have, you know, it's brutal. She has no choice. She cannot, you know, and I'm sure Democrats, the US would like to be able to turn around around and put the pressure on China to say some of the things you're potentially doing from a human rights point of view is unacceptable to us. You ain't got a cat in hell's chance of doing that one, because all they're just going to look at you and say, yeah, you can complain all you like, chaps. We're not going to do anything.
But you know what? You brought up the Democrat issue, and I want to just comment on that real quick. I think you're wrong. I don't think the Democrats have a problem with it. Problem with the Democrats is the only time they have a problem with civil rights issues is when it's something involving the conservatives. When the Democrats are supporting it, they don't care. I mean, just take a look at this. You know, when Bush was in office, China's civil rights issues was one of the major play issues, because it was used to slam and downgrade the conservative president. But now that you have a liberal president and a liberal Congress and a liberal House, all of a sudden it becomes one paragraph hidden in the article.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, it's something we'll have to keep a close eye on and see what else she comes up with while she's in China. But yeah, it's going to be status quo. China's going to continue to produce as much goods as the US people will take up. Yeah, and some people are saying, oh, you know, we're never going to be able to get out of this depression. Well, I think sometimes you're in a catch-22 in that you want cheap goods, but you haven't got enough money to pay for the luxury goods or the more expensive goods that are made in the US, so therefore you're always going to tend to buy the goods in China because they cost less.
And yeah, well, trust me, Mark, I'm going to talk about that not having enough money on my rant, so I've got a good little bomb to throw.
We'll leave that one then. And the other thing I noticed was that the Texas National Guard had been placed on alert because of issues with Mexico, which, you know, you have to think, you know, Texas is a very large state. Its National Guard is hardly small, and the fact that the governor has said he wants to put the whole National Guard on alert, you know, makes you think there must be something pretty serious going on there.
Well, apparently the drug cartels are going through a period of massive violence, and some of it has spilled across the border. And of course, now there's a lot of issues there. They're worried about Mexico breaking out in civil war, especially on the western part of the border right up with Texas. And I think one of the things that we have to understand is these people have been walking across our border for, you know, how many years now. So to have some of this violence spill over, I think it is germane to the situation. However, there's no way you can look at that as not being some sort of, and I don't want to use the word invasion by any means, because it's not being sponsored by the Mexican government, but there needs to be some action taken, and I applaud this. I think the National Guard should be activated.
But I think it's a big concern for the U.S. if Mexico becomes unstable, because you have to be thinking, if you're a Mexican and your country becomes any more unstable, which direction are you going to go? You're hardly going to go south. You know, you're going to get even more people stressing the border, trying to get through the border. And I'm sure we'd say enough people get through the border every day as it is. Imagine if there was a concerted effort and they actually broke down that border between the US and Mexico. You know, you could have millions of Mexicans coming into the south of the US, you know, with everything that that potentially brings, the exploitation cost, you know, even more US jobs potentially being taken by people who are prepared to work for significantly less than minimum wage. Now, I can see why, but it's interesting, is what does the governor of Texas want the National Guard to do? Will he actually say to them, I don't care, you actually have the right now to gun down people coming across the border?
I can tell you what he's going to say, Martin. He's going to say exactly what he should have said. He said that they have tried desperately, the word is desperately, to get Washington's approval, but when they couldn't get it, they acted on their own. I like that. He has said that this is going to spill over into the states. And now this is Senator Dan Patrick. He's a state senator for Texas. He has said that this is going to spill over. He said he is convinced that roadside bombs and car bombs will make it across the border, and he will not allow that to happen. I guess it was on the 20th, there was 15 people killed at the border crossing from Mexico into Texas when they were chanting and protesting, and they had actually blocked the border or something.
But I suppose the question is, well, you know, does the governor of Texas actually have the right to close the border, or is, I mean, I would perceive that the border is a federal issue, not a state issue.
It is, but the governor of Texas has the constitutional power to protect his state. So I think you're going to find that to be a very complicated issue, and I don't know what the answer is.
No, that's going to be an interesting one. And certainly, if you want to comment on anything that any of the topics that Homer and I have spoken about, come and find the show thread. If you want to agree with us, we certainly welcome agreement, but if you want to disagree with us, you just post away, and Homer and I will certainly jump on any comments that we see that we agree or disagree with, so you can get into a banter with us.
Now, here's something interesting, Martin, that you had brought up offline to me. The Sir Robert Allen Stanford, you're convinced he's dead.
Well, Well, yeah, we are supposed to put a little bit of context about this. Mr. Stanford, or Alan Stanford, who's probably better known in the United Kingdom, probably for what he did with the English Cricket Board in funding them and having this Stanford Specials match, 2020 match, where the prize was like $1 million for each player. And it seems that his financial empire may be unravelling a little bit. And I just sort of started thinking about this. So he's disappeared, and I know you said, well he's disappeared because he's a billionaire and he can disappear. Well, now there's some rumours starting to float around that his businesses may have been used to launder money for the Colombian drug cartels, and you've got to think that probably some of those guys might not be happy if they've discovered some of their investments aren't as strong as they would be. I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Stanford is never found. Because I suspect he's probably dead. He's either done it himself or somebody else has done it. So there's a little bit of a conspiracy that I'm starting here.
Now, what I find interesting, Martin, and you'll have to forgive me with this, but since he is Sir Robert Alan Stanford, that would mean that he is an Englishman, and he has moved to Texas
to become
a financier, and now he's involved in the Colombian drug cartel.
No, because it could be possible for him to become a Sir, and it could be given to him because of good works he's done. So you don't necessarily have to be English or British to be a Sir.
Well, I was just bringing up the point, Martin. I don't want to get you all up in a roar over this.
He's yes, he's probably been rewarded for doing some good works in the past. And, you know, I think up until this, fiasco kicked off, he was probably seen certainly in the Caribbean as being someone that had driven a lot of business to the Caribbean, that had probably made some differences to certainly some lives and had brought a lot of prosperity to certain countries in the Caribbean.
Very positive, I understand, prior to all of this.
Absolutely. So, you know, but there have been runs on the banks in some countries. So we'll have to see how that develops. But I'm sticking out on a limb. I reckon he's dead.
And I think he's just hiding, but of course we'll find out.
We certainly will. And one of the things I wanted also to bring up, moving it around the world a little bit, was to just talk about the Court of Human Rights in the EU has told the British government that we have to pay compensation to some terror suspects that we illegally detained, and in particular a man called Abu Qatada, who is alleged to be Osama bin Laden's right-hand man in Europe. And, you know, I've got some, I suppose I better try and rein my aggression and anger in here, some European judges telling the British government that we held these people illegally because we detained him without trial after 9/11. And, you know, I just have to think, I think there are more important things for the EU to be doing and worrying about us putting in a guy who I think many people would accept is probably fairly heavily involved in Al-Qaeda across Europe. So we stopped him. And I always use I've seen the classic line, did the people from Al-Qaeda actually care about the human rights of the people that they killed when they slammed those planes into the World Trade Center? No. So we have to care about their human rights. And I have to take the view, I really don't care about this man's human rights. I really don't care what the EU think. EU have some much more important things to worry about, which is trying to stimulate the global and the European economy. What is interesting is that the court said that we would have to pay Abu Qatada £2,500, which is probably around about $3,000, around about €2,500. And I think they were sending a message there to the British government almost to say, okay, we think you've made some kind of infraction here, but in some respects we agree with you, that's why we've made the compensation claim so small. Well, I have to turn around and say, tough. I really don't care about it.
Well, I think, too, that if you read on into the article, Martin, you'll find that there were other victories on the side of common sense. They ruled that he could be deported, which, of course, is no surprise, since apparently he came to your country in 1993 on a forged passport.
However, his lawyers have said that they're going to go back to the Court of Human Rights because they believe that if he goes back to Jordan, which is a country that does not renounce torture, they believe he will be tortured because I believe he's wanted for acts of terrorism in Jordan. So his lawyers are now going to spend even more of my taxpayers' money defending a man, as you quite rightly say, who I don't believe should be in this country. So, you know, it's going to cost potentially another, I dread to think, you've got to be thinking for the government to defend this is probably going to cost £100,000. You know, and then
at
also,
least.
Yeah, and then we're also holding this man in prison. He's probably in a high security prison because of who he is. You know, I'm sorry. Why? You know, I like the US, like the rest of Europe. £100,000 probably saves three or four people's jobs somewhere, which the government should be doing with it. What we're doing is we're potentially having to defend ourselves against a man who belongs to an organization that has sworn to continue killing people in Western Europe because we're not Muslims. We don't believe in Islam. We don't believe in Allah, you know.
Yeah, and I love the caption under his picture, Martin, on the article. It says he might be Osama bin Laden's right-hand man in a continent, but European judges think he was unfairly jailed. What, you know, where's the common sense in this?
There isn't any, because I believe that these judges are having to enforce a human rights act within Europe that I don't think was ever construed in the days and ages of global terrorism. You know, I think things like this start to say to the British people that Europe is probably, some parts of our relationship with the EU are less and less relevant. Yeah, you know, I vacillate between whether the UK should be part of the EU and not part of the EU. There are times when I think, you know, we get a huge trade advantage out of it. We certainly get a political advantage out of it in the fact that the European voice is very strong. But, you know, when you see things like this one, you have people who probably don't, you know, you have judges in the Human Rights Court who I don't think actually understand reality. And I think we could say this generally, that, you know, we can cite many examples of judges who are so out of touch with real life. I think this just plays sometimes into the hands of those people who believe the UK should not be part of the EU, or we should have a different relationship with the EU.
So it might not be a bad thing after all, because I, you know, I am totally opposed to the EU. I am totally opposed to any sort of a union between countries that places the country's interests in some sort of a backseat role. And we saw this when we talked last week in reference to the French, and they're moving the or actually their bailouts of the auto industry over there, and the, you know, the EU's opinion on that. And I think that's what happens, you know, that you get a union of different countries, and we see it with the United Nations all the time, and the actual country that's going to be affected has to take a back seat to the liberal ideals of the people that are sitting on these courts.
But I think where you're going with this argument, and I'm just going to fire back on it, so what's the difference between the EU and the United States of America? Because all your states have rights, and then you have federal rights. I think that argument starts to become dangerous in the fact of what is the difference between the EU and the fact it is a collection of states who have got together. I see it as no different to all the states in the US that have got together to form the United States of America.
50 years ago, Martin, I'd have an argument for you, because 50 years ago, the states' rights were ultimately important. 50 years ago, the Constitution of the United States meant something, and the states had autonomy, and they ran their own state, and the federal government stayed the hell out of it. But now, I can't argue with you. The federal government here has become so huge and so powerful, and that's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Martin, is you guys in England have to step up where this happens, because when the EU becomes ultimately powerful, they will begin to dictate to your country exactly the same way my federal government dictates to my state. And all of a sudden, individual rights and the right to govern yourself is out the window.
But I have noticed on ATS there have been several threads about some states now starting to tell the federal government there are things you can and can't do inside the borders of this state. So I think I think some of the state governors now feel comfortable that they can actually tell the federal government what to do. And I just wonder whether this is also an impact of the fact that you've got a new president who is not tarred with 9/11, because in some respects ex-president Bush, every time he wanted to try and force something through, could always go to the American people and say, but 9/11, but 9/11. Whereas I think Barack Obama cannot, if he wants to put through some more draconian security measures or try and restrict freedoms, he cannot use the 9/11 argument as powerfully as George Bush could, because he was the president, he was the man that was in at the helm, he orchestrated the response, he orchestrated, you know, the Afghanistan and Iraq. He had a very powerful argument there, whereas I now think Barack Obama doesn't have that argument, and I think I see this as the states now trying to say, guess what, you can't use that argument with us anymore. We're not going to do it anymore. We are trying to take back some of the rights the states have away from the federal government.
Yes. However, let's not forget the person or the entity that controls the purse strings is the one that's going to have the ultimate say. And these same states that are trying to step back and trying to recluse themselves from the federal government in these specific circumstances are going to be the same states that are going to be standing up with their hands out wanting money to bail themselves out. And that's where the power comes in. The federal government has the power to deny them federal funds. And most of these states, at least most of the states I'm aware of, subsist heavily on federal funds. I only know of a couple of states that have posted in the black as far as their economies go, and all the rest of them stand there and just hold their hands out for federal money.
But if you take that federal money thing, who actually collects when you get a paycheck? I get a paycheck. There's some tax taken out of it. The tax is taken by my employer and handed to the United Kingdom government. In the states, who actually collects your taxes? Because I know sometimes you will have a federal tax and you will have a state tax.
Well, not sometimes, all the time. I don't mind telling you, I'm currently on a 38% tax base, which means 38% of my base pay goes to taxes. Now, the large lion's share of that 38% goes to the federal government. A smaller part of it goes to the state that I currently reside in, and in even smaller parts goes to things like Social Security, American families, disabilities, and that sort of thing.
But who actually collects it? Who actually collects that money? Is it collected by the state and then the state hands it on to the federal government, or is it collected by the federal government who then say take the whole of your 38% and say, right, of the 38%, 30% of Homer's salary stays with the federal government, 7% goes to the state where you are, and then the rest of it gets divvied up? Or is it collected by the state who then hand it back to the federal government?
To the best of my knowledge, it goes directly to the federal government. However, any of you listeners that want to correct me on that, that's fine, but I believe the money is divvied up by my employer, and the money that is owed to the federal government is paid directly to them.
Yes, and as Homer says, there are some very sharp and very intelligent people out listening to this show and on the forums. Yep, we always want to be educated. There are times when Homer and I will say things that you might just go, those guys know nothing. You please be gentle with us, but come to the show thread and say to us what's going on here. Tell us what's going on.
Yes, please be gentle, because everybody knows I'll just say anything.
Yes, and I know we are getting close to time on this edition of the Above Politics Show, but one of the things I wanted to highlight is that we've got a thread going up on the ATS Mix Information Forum. We're trying to do a show about your views on Barack Obama, and what we're hoping to do is try and get some pre-recorded comments from you about, you know, what you think of the first few months of the new president. We've got some contributions from some of our regular contributors to the show, but we're also looking to see if any of you who maybe don't or haven't contributed in the past want to do that. And all you have to do, find the show thread, we'll put it on the bottom of this show anyway, but all we really need is a piece up to 5 minutes long. The other thing, you have to say your ATS username in the first few minutes, and it has to meet T's and C's, so you can't go ranting and raving and using words that you shouldn't do. It has to meet T's and C's.
And Martin, I'll put this out. For those of you that may be computer, not quite as computer savvy, or maybe uncomfortable making a recording, all you have to do is drop us a line, and one of us will call you on your telephone, on your cell phone, your home phone, whatever's convenient for you, and we will record your 5 minutes for you. I have no problem doing that at all.
Absolutely. Homer's absolutely right there. We're both happy to do that for you, and we do have a couple of regular guests who do that with us. You know, I call up a couple of them and I record it from my end, and we just edit it up and we put it into the show.
I would really like to hear some very positive things about President Obama. There's been a lot of negative stuff, and of course, that's what sells, so that's what, you know, you kind of expect that. But, you know, the man's not all bad, and there has been some positive things going on, and I'd like to hear people step up and tell us about it.
Absolutely. So we'll definitely put those show notes, put those links in the show notes. But yes, we have a rant from Homer coming up, but I want to thank you all for listening to the Above Politics show. I have been Martin Bain.
And I'm still Homer Fife.
And we'll see you next time on the Above Politics show.
This is Homer Fife, and this is Just the Way I See It. What are we all scared of? Gas is cheap. Groceries are up, but not terribly. Rent's no different here than before, nor is my house payment gone up. So why all the layoffs and the shutdowns? Carryover. That's right, carryover. The mainstream media was so intent on slinging mud at everything conservative that they've spent the last 2 years telling us all how very bad it is, how bad it's going to get, and you know what? Now look at it. Now, how bad is it? Do you pay any more for a loaf of bread? I don't. But if you watch the mainstream media, that's all you hear. And here's what's happening. Businesses are reacting to bills that Obama has said he's going to pursue. Prior to even any serious talk about them, the businesses are reacting because they know what the liberals do. Mainstream media scare tactics again. The market does not like liberals in power. In fact, the market does not like any one ideal in power completely over another one. And right now we have liberals running the whole show. That's what the market's going to do. The market's going to go down and we're going to lose money. Get used to it. Liberals want to reinstitute the unfairness doctrine and effectively ruin free speech. Scare tactics, yes, and the downfall of freedom. If the unfairness doctrine comes through, well, I don't think it'll affect us. But let me tell you right now, that's it. That's it. The country's gone. But hey, this is what you all wanted. This is exactly what you all voted for, so suck it up and quit crying about it. In 06, you put liberals in place in the House and the Senate. We had a great economy. Now it went in the tank almost immediately. And yet, you still want to argue. You still want to bring up some kind of BS reasons that it might have been something else. No, it's common sense. In 06, you put liberals in power in the House and Senate. We had a housing boom, the greatest housing boom we've ever experienced. That housing boom went boom. In 06, the unemployment rate was the lowest it had been in history. In come the libs, and yep, you guessed it. Did you learn? Did you learn anything? Nope. You continued on blaming the conservatives, even though those same conservatives warned you again and again for years about the impending crash of Freddie and Fannie. Warned you over and over in hearing after hearing. Did you listen? Did any of you learn anything? Nope. So guess what? You got what you wanted. So quit complaining and crying about losing your jobs. Quit complaining and crying about having no money. Quit complaining and crying about your retirement dwindling. It's exactly what you wanted. You never learn. What you have now is an administration and a Congress that is going to raise your taxes so that you are effectively working for the government. Then they're going to hand you money just to placate you a little bit at a time, and they're going to call that an incentive. But really, what is it? And what does it sound like to you? That's right, the big S word's what it sounds like to me. They're taking almost 50% of my check. 50% of the money that I work for goes to someone else. So then they're going to come along and hand me a little bit back in a check. Oh, for what? For being a good boy? Why are they giving me any money back at all? That's because they're trying to get me used to being spoon-fed by the government. Well, I for one don't think that things are as bad as the mainstream media keeps telling me they are. I plan on going shopping today, and I'm going to spend some money. I'm going to go support one of my local small businesses here, and I'm going to try my darndest to upset Hillary Clinton by not buying anything made in China. What are you going to do today? You're going to watch the mainstream media and get even more scared? Or are you going to go on out, understand that you, speaking to the liberals, created this mess in 06 and again in 08, and just live with it? You know what, liberals? It's time for you to cowboy up, start acting like adults, and take the blame for all of this. It sits squarely in your laps. Some of us have common sense. This is Homer Fife, and that's just the way I see it.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at abovepolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.